Blog Talk Radio.
How can I say thanks for the things you have done for me? Things so you gave to prove your love for me, and the voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I am and never hope to be, I owe it all to
to the Spirit Alive Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everyone. I'm Bishop Shalene Cook, founder and executive producer of the Spirit Alive Networks, and I'm so blessed to be able to welcome you to another Every Man Standing in His Place with Pastor Jeffrey Scott for this Friday, October 16th, 2020. Now, my dear brother, Pastor Jeffrey, is using great wisdom tonight, and he is resting per wife and the doctor's orders. So I will be standing in his stead this evening, but I am so happy to have joining me a man of God that we were first introduced to during Apostle Zeta Flowers Research Conference. And I have invited the mighty man back tonight to bless us. So my brothers and sisters, get your Bibles, get something to write with and to write on, and please help me welcome, hallelujah, Evangelist George McGeehy. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Am I on?
Yes, you are.
Praise God. Shalom, shalom. I bring greetings from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Anointed One. Father God, I just thank you, Lord. I worship you, Father. Sprinkle the blood. I release the glory. I decree and declare that the heavens are open over this place. Father God, and I step in that anointing to minister your word with boldness, with clarity, with simplicity, and in the spirit of love. Father God, anoint every ear to hear, every eye to see, and every heart to receive and act on what thus says the Lord. And I decree and declare that from this day forward, lives will never be the same. In the mighty name of Jesus. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28. 1 Corinthians 12, 28. And I'll be reading. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular, the body of Christ. We are the body of his anointing. His anointing flows through us, resides in us. Verse 28. That was verse 27, excuse me. Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. Verse 28. And God have set some in the church. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts, excuse me. Secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healings and helps and governments, diversity of tongues. Amen. So God sets us in the body as he sees fit. Amen. That word set is T-A-M-I. Strong's number 5087, used 96 times. It means to set, put, place, to appoint. Amen. God appoints us, yeah. Anoints us and appoints us. 1 Corinthians 12, look at verse 12. For as the body is one, we're one body and have many members, and all the members of that one body being many or one body, so also is Christ.
All right.
Amen.
Amen. All right now. Well, it looks like he had technical difficulty, but you know what? The devil is a liar, and we're going to keep it on moving. Hallelujah. We will bring him back. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So we are just going to pray it on back because the man of God was starting out right. Okay, it ain't nobody mad. But the devil, all right? Ain't nobody mad but the devil. Hallelujah. I told you, we thank Jesus because we know.
We bind that spirit right now in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
We speak the blood of Jesus through the airways right now.
Yes, hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus.
1 Corinthians 12:12. As the body is one and have many members, and all members of that one body being many or one body, so also is Christ. For by one spirit we have all been baptized into one body. By one spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one spirit. One spirit. So what right there, there can be no ethnic divide in the body of Christ. Go with me quickly to John 13. John 13, no ethnic divide. The title of your show is Every man standing in his place, but that's the title of my message. Every man standing in his place. John chapter
right
17.
Now.
No, John 13, 34, 35. Jesus speaking, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Before Jesus said that you love your neighbors yourself. But right here, he takes that thing to another level. Amen. In case you don't love yourself, we got to love one another. Our black brother, our brown brother, our red brother, our yellow sister. We got to love one another the way Jesus has loved us. Agape love, unconditional love. Amen. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Watch this, 35. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Until we become one, the world will never believe that we are God's disciples. We are Jesus' disciples because until we become one in agape love, we acting just like them. Hello, somebody. Go to John 17. John 17 is the Lord's Prayer. John 17, verse 21. Watch this. John 17, 21. Jesus praying to the Father. This is the Lord's Prayer. John 17, 21. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Until the body of Christ globally become one, the world will never believe that God sent Jesus. Can you see the pop? Did you see that? Hello? Until we become one, the world will not believe that God sent Jesus. Until we love one another, the world won't believe that we are his disciples. Amen?
Come on. Amen.
That's power. Verse 22. And the glory which thou... No, wait. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Verse 23. Watch the power in verse 23. I in them, meaning Jesus saying, he in us, and thou in me, the Father in him, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me. He repeats it. But look at the next part. And has loved them as thou hast loved me. Once we become one in agape love, the world will be able to get a revelation that Jesus loves, the Father loves them just like he loves Jesus. The world. That's why the scripture says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. The scripture says, 1 John chapter 4, 7 and 8, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. He that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not his black, white, brown, yellow sister and brother knoweth not God, for God is love. God ain't power, God is love, but love is powerful because it never fails. Amen?
Yeah.
So there can be no ethnic divide. And check this out. I'm gonna just give you the address of these scriptures. The racism is a historical lie. God created one race, the human race, different ethnic groups. The scripture says in Leviticus 17:11 that the life of the flesh is in the blood. Your life is not predicated on your bank account, your skin color, your hair, your texture of your hair, where you was born, none of that. The light, you are valuable because you was created in the image of God. And God, in verse Acts 17:26, God said he created all nations, all ethnic groups out of one blood. Life of the flesh is in the blood. So basically we the same, but we like snowflakes. No snowflake is exactly the same as far as texture in the print. But people are exactly, it's just one race, the human race.
Amen.
And the church needs to step up. And until we become one, till all lives matter in the church, all lives will never matter in the world. That's a fact.
Come on.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
And check this. Watch this. Watch this. I'm just going to give the address. Matthew 12:25. Jesus talked about a house divided can't stand, right? A family divided can't stand. A kingdom divided can't stand. Now, the body of Christ is not an organization. The body of Christ is a living organism. And one of the definitions of divide means to cut. So if the body of Christ is cut, it's bleeding. Hello, somebody.
Yes.
But it's not bleeding blood. Because when Jesus came back, he told Thomas, he told him to touch me. Touch me. I'm not a, he said, you don't, you, I don't have, he said, you, I'm not a, they thought he was a ghost or something. He said, but a spirit have not flesh and bone as you, as I have. He didn't have no blood. What's in his veins now is the glory. So when the body of Christ is divided, catch this in the spirit, we're bleeding. We're bleeding glory, power, anointing, and influence in the world. We're fragmented.
Mm-hmm.
We play in church till we become one. A church is not a church. The body of Christ is not a body of Christ till we become one. Amen? Hallelujah. So we're bleeding glory, power, and influence in the earth realm. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4. Very familiar verses of scripture. Ephesians 4 and 11. And talking about Jesus. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Why did he give it, Holy Ghost, through Paul? Verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints. For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, that word perfecting, that word is only, this word here, the Greek word for this perfecting, is only used once in the entire New Testament. So that tells me this is special.
All right.
So what it means is, it's Ketartimos, Strong's number 2677. And that's interesting, too. It got two sevens in the number. You know what I'm saying? Hey, two sevens, God's complete number. But look at this. That's improbable. Guess what it means? It means complete furnishing, equipping. God don't want us sending people off half-cocked. The fivefold is to equip the saints of God, not the ain'ts of God. Hey, hello, somebody. See, there's a lot of traditions of men make the word of God a non-effect. God calls us saints, not ain'ts. We ain't got can't help it no more. The true gospel, we got can-do power.
Thank you.
Hello, somebody.
Amen.
We're not sinners saved by grace. We're not sinners. We're saints that have been saved from sin. Hello, somebody.
This is
what the Bible teaches. Hello. We can't help us no more. We got can-do power. We can do all things through Christ, through the anointed one and his anointing that strengthens us. So real complete furnishing and his equipping, that's discipleship. And this is what is lacking in the ministry. We're not discipling the people. We're not discipling the people. Look at Luke 40. Let's see what a disciple should be like. Luke 6:40. Look at Luke 6:40. I love this. I love this word.
Amen.
Luke 6:40. Watch what it says. It says, the disciple is not above his master or his teacher, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master, as
Amen.
His teacher.
Amen.
So if we're Jesus' disciples, hello, somebody. If we Jesus' disciples, we should have been perfected and equipped to operate like Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Because we're part of his body. He's the head and we're his body. Can you see that?
Glory.
Amen. So if one of the fivefold, they've been discipled, they've been matured, and then when they disciple somebody, that person has an opportunity to become perfected. To become perfected means to be matured. Matured in the gospel. Amen. Know how to yield the sword. Know how to pray. Know how to fast. Know how to endure hardship. Amen.
Amen.
Now, now, but see, the people that's discipling, they gotta have their stuff together. If they haven't been discipled, they can't disciple nobody. You can't take nobody where you ain't been. Huh?
Amen.
And this is what happens a lot of times. Look at this. Go to Jesus speaking in Matthew 23:15. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widow houses and for a pretense make long prayer. That's 14. Therefore you shall receive the greater damnation. Verse 15 is what I wanted. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, you can pass sea and land. You go all the way across the ocean to make one proselyte, one disciple, convert. And when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourself. So if I haven't been properly trained and discipled, and I call myself overseeing a ministry or discipling people, they're going to be twice the fold tore up as I am.
Yes.
It's the Bible. This ain't me now. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. So we need to disciple the people. They need to be discipled. The word, he said, let me see, verse 12 said, the perfecting of the saints. Now that word saints is the word hagios in the Greek, G40. 40, that's amazing. 40 is the number of testing and trial. It's used 229 times. This is what it means. Defined as pure, morally blameless, most holy thing, or saint. The 161 times is used as is the word holy. 61 times is the word saints, talking about us. God said, you a holy thing. That's what we're supposed to be. Saints, not ain't. Hello. We're supposed to make church members. We're supposed to make disciples, saints. Four times is the word is holy one, talking about Jesus. And three times is miscellaneous. Amen. We're the saints of God. Amen. I'm just going to quote these scriptures. It says in 1 Peter 2:9 that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, that we should show forth the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. The praises are the virtues. We are holy people. Amen? Holy people. Matter of fact, the priesthood of all believers. All believers have a priestly mandate on their lives, but they have to be trained. They have to be equipped. That's what this verse is talking about. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. The work of the ministry is a priesthood.
Yes.
God has made us kings and priests unto our God. Revelation 1:5-6. He washed us in his blood and made us kings and priests unto our God. But we have to be trained for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's for the building up of the body of Christ. But now, 1 Peter 5:1-4, it tells us not to lord over the people, but to be an example to the flock, not lords over them. An example is people worthy to be imitated and followed. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Now, check this out. If the SIA, you know, we know about the CIA, but the SIA, that's Satan's intelligence agents. If they followed you around, this is a question for everybody to answer, including me. If the SIA followed you around, would they be able to gather enough evidence to convict you of being a saint? Hello, somebody. That's just something to ponder on. Amen? Woo! Glory. Holy people. Now, that word hagias, 229 times, things can be holy, places can be holy, and people can be holy. The people of God. The Bible is a holy Bible written by holy men from a holy God to a to perfect and prepare a holy people for a holy place called New Jerusalem. And ain't nothing nasty and stinking going up in there. The Bible says nothing that defiles will enter into that place.
Amen.
See, that's why Jesus talks about the straight and the narrow. Enter into the narrow path. Only a few enters into that path, he said. He said, but wide is the way to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. And then the tares and the wheat. He said, let them sit in the church. The tares are unsaved, sit in the church. The wheat is saved. He said, but let them sit, because they look so much alike, we don't know which one is who. He said, but at the end, he'll send the angels, and they'll take the tares and bind them up and put them in the fire. That's held in the lake of fire. And the wheat will be put in barns. That's why he said this in Matthew 7:21. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out devils in your name and sung in the choir in your name, sold chicken dinners in your name? And he's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you, you who work iniquity. So we need to really make sure we're saved as fivefold leaders. Make sure we in this thing, because the scripture even says for us to examine ourselves to see whether or not we're in the faith. And then those that God has entrusted to us, that we take care of the sheep. We feed the sheep. We don't slop the hogs. Amen.
Amen.
We need a fresh revelation relative to the new creation reality. See, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That word new, I was amazed when I looked this up a while back. That word new is in the Greek is Strong's 2537. That's 7 again. Used 44 times. Defined as, listen at this, new in form, recently made, fresh, unused, new kind, unprecedented, novel, uncommon, unheard of, a new species of man that never before existed, new ethnic group of people made up of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation, the body of Christ, the church, a house of prayer for all nations, the kingdom of God. But look at this last one. The new creation is the latest and greatest new thing. The latest and greatest new thing is not the iPhone. Hallelujah. It's not the new Rolls Royce. It's not the new house. No, the latest and greatest new thing is that holy new creation. Amen?
Amen.
That's the latest and greatest new thing. And once we need to get a revelation of that. Amen? Hande bo 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 shaka. And we need to come into the unity of the faith. We need to walk in oneness. We need to walk in one accord. Amen. That word one accord, the phrase one accord is in the book of Acts 10 times. It's in the New Testament 12, but in the book of Acts 10 times. That's why they were so powerful. Unity in the body. Now, one other thing concerning the body, traditionally it's been one person running a ministry, a pastor, one person. But let's look at the example in the body in the Bible, Acts chapter 13. Let's talk about the church. Acts 13:1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Mahan, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. So Saul was an apostle, but you had prophets, you had teachers. It was a plurality of leaders. Because the old wineskin is one person running the ministry. The new wine won't fit in that. It has to have the fivefold. It takes the fivefold to equip the saints. That's why he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. What? For the perfecting of the saints. Each fivefold has an impartation to impart into the body. Amen?
Amen.
It, And it says, as they ministered, verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Paul and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. So they had been prepared, and then they were sent out by the Holy Ghost. Prepared and sent out by the Holy Ghost. Romans 10. Look, Romans 10. Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not heard? In whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? That's why Paul and them had to be sent out. How shall they preach except they be sent? We got to make sure God sends us. We don't, like people just went, but now you got to be sent. Amen? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring good tidings of good things. Amen? Hande bobo. Now, I'm going to quote this scripture. It's in Hebrews 8:8-5 and Acts 7:44, where God told Moses to build this thing according to the pattern that you received on the mount. We have to build the body of Christ, the body of his anointing, according to the scripture. Amen? Psalms 127:1 says, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. The Lord has to build the house. Amen. Go to Matthew 16 quickly. Matthew 16. Matthew 16. Very familiar verses of scripture. Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? That's the question for the whole world. Who is this Jesus, and what is he to you? That's the question. Amen. 14. And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Amen. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, most time when people minister this, they focus on thou art the Son of the living God. But the revelation is in the word Christ. He is the Messiah, the anointed one, and his anointing. Amen. That was a revelation right there. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. That's a revelation. That's the revelation that Jesus is the Messiah. They was waiting for the Messiah. The Jews are still waiting for the Messiah. But Jesus is the Messiah. This is the revelation. Check this out. And I say unto you that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, Peter is the word Petros, and upon this rock is Petra. He's talking about a big rock. He's not talking about Peter. Amen. It's a play on words. He's talking about on the rock like Gibraltar, the rock of ages. He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. But he said, but upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church will be built on revelation knowledge concerning who Jesus really is, and what he has accomplished for us,
yes,
and who we are in him.
Yes.
Say that.
That's why we need the revelation of the new creation reality. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So the church is going to be built on revelation knowledge concerning who Jesus really is. Because in the last days, you got doctrines of traditions of men. You got doctrines of demons. You got denominational doctrine? No, it's got to be a true revelation. There's only one interpretation of this word, of this prophetic word, and that upon that Jesus said he'll build his church. Amen. He'll build his church. Ephesians 2:19, real quick. Ephesians 2:19. So he's going to build the church on revelation knowledge of who he really is, what he has accomplished for us, and who we are in him. What he has done for us is far greater than what we're walking in. The Bible says this, that as Jesus is, not how he was, how he is, that's how we are in this world. We're supposed to be walking. The reason we're not is because of division. We're supposed to be walking in such power and authority. Look at the book of Acts. They was on one accord. Peter's shadow. That wasn't his shadow. If you study it out, that's the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit. It means to be encompassed or enveloped in a haze of God's brilliance. It's the same thing that came upon Jesus in the Mount of Transfiguration, Matthew 17. It's the same thing that came upon Mary. He said, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. Amen. The Holy Ghost overshadowed her and she gave birth. Amen. So when Peter, his shadow, that was the overshadowing of the Holy Ghost, but they was walking in one accord. That's why they were so powerful. That's why they were so powerful. This thing is powerful. When we walk in one accord,
yes,
in love, in holiness, in righteousness, we'll be just like Jesus. We'll be like men like John G. Lake, who dealt with the bubonic plague. We'll be like Smith Wigglesworth. These are just examples of what we should be walking in, what we're going to walk in before we leave here.
Yeah.
See, this junk is coming up out of here.
All right, now.
And God ain't retarded. God ain't retarded. You got 29,000 churches on one corner. God ain't called to send them people. Hello, somebody. See, this thing, this is a sacred trust. This thing is, man, it's dangerous to play with God. That's another thing. We're not teaching the fear of God. The fear of God is more than reverential respect.
Yes, it is.
Hello.
Man, yes.
When Jesus said, don't fear them that can kill you, he said, this will you be scared of, the one that can kill you and cast you into hell. He wasn't talking about respect. He's talking about being outright scared. And that's the problem. A lot of us, we're too familiar with God. God, we think God is our homeboy. God ain't our homeboy. God is love. He's grace. They have taken that grace card too far. He's love. He's grace. He's kindness. But he's also judgment and a consuming fire. Hello, somebody. Ephesians 2. Woo, glory. I got so much here. But anyway, Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, what's that, 19 and 20. Ephesians 2, 19 and 20. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints. See, that word saint is in there 61 times. And of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Okay,
yes.
In whom all the building fitly joined together, fitly framed together, groweth into a holy temple in the Lord. See, when we fitly, every man in his place, in his lane, in their position, in their gift, in their calling, where God called us, but we on one accord, we walking in love, we in unity. Amen. In whom you also build it together, why? For a habitation of God through the Spirit. The Spirit will live. Habitation is where you live. It won't be come by here, kumbaya, come by here, Lord. No, he'll be here. He'll be living big in us. Can you see that?
All right.
He'll be living big in us. Amen. Halabashata. Glory to God. Paul said he was a master builder.
Amen.
And he was building according to the pattern. Amen. And he said, take heed how we build. He said, because everyone's work will be tried by fire. So we got to make sure that we're building on this foundation that the apostles and prophets set, and Jesus is the chief cornerstone. We got to take heed how we build on that. Make sure we're building according to the pattern. Amen.
Yeah.
I wonder if anybody saw this thing. It was called Trump, repent, tongues, and Trump. It had those three words in it, and it was Kit Ross. Did anybody saw that? Anyway, they said something about three or four of them. They was prophesying. It was about 10 pastors and their wives, and they was all they prayed in tongues for 1 hour and prophesied. Amen. And it was powerful.
Okay.
And two or three of them came up with the same thing. No more infants in the pulpit. Children in the pulpit. Children in the pulpit.
Mama.
The pulpit, that's a sacred desk. Go to 1 Corinthians 3 real quick. 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3, 1, 2, 3, it says, Paul speaking. And brethren, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, meatheads, corny, corn, chili, corn, corny, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For you are yet carnal, fleshly. Here's the signs of carnality. For whereas there is among you envying, strife, and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Now watch, listen to this in the Amplified. Watch this. Ooh, this is powerful. However, brethren, I could not talk to you as to spiritual men, but as to non-spiritual men of the flesh, in whom the carnal nature predominates, as to mere infants in the new life, in Christ, unable to talk yet. You ain't got unable to talk. Don't know how to speak as an oracle of God. They have no business in the pulpit.
Well,
they haven't been prepared and sent. They just went. Amen? Then he says this here, verse 2. He said, I fed you with milk and not solid food, for you are not yet strong enough to be ready for it. But even yet are you not strong enough to be ready for it, for you are still unspiritual, having the nature of the flesh under the control of ordinary impulses, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, the works of the flesh, the five senses. Amen? Under the control of ordinary impulses, for so long as there are envying and jealousy and wrangling and fractions, that's division, among you, are you not unspiritual and of the flesh, behaving yourselves after a human standard and like mere unchanged men? This thing is supposed to change you.
Yeah.
It's supposed to change. This gospel changes you from a turkey to an eagle. Amen?
Okay. All right.
From a caterpillar to a butterfly. We have to change. We have to change. The gospel is a sacred trust.
Yes,
a sacred
it is.
Trust. This
Don't
thing
play
is,
with
this
it.
Is way more serious. This thing, this is it is a sacred trust. And the scripture tells us in 1 Timothy 3, let's go there. 1 Timothy 3, it gives the qualifications for a bishop, an overseer, for ministry, basically. Amen?
Amen.
For fivefold.
Amen.
For fivefold. For fivefold. This is what it says. This is a true saying. If any man or woman desire the office of a bishop, they desire a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, able to teach, not given to wine, No striker. Not going to hit somebody upside the head. No greedy or filthy lucre. But patient. Not a brawler. You're always in the mess. You're going to fight. Not covetous. Just greedy for too much. Now, I mean, God has already ordained. He said if we have sown to them spiritual things, we should reap from them carnal things. You know, and God has ordained for those that preach the gospel to live of the gospel. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 11,
Amen.
13, and 14. And I know it's true because in 2005, January 28th, I had worked at Burns & Co. Factory selling suits, a suit specialist, for 7 years, and God told me to resign. And I stepped out in by faith, and I haven't bust a clock since. That's been 15 years. And God and I and really ain't been on no one's payroll, but God has taken care of me because the Bible says a laborer is worthy of his hire. If you take care of God's business, he'll handle yours, and he's a good paymaster. I mean, I can tell you that. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
I can say that myself. Hallelujah.
We got to be about his business. And it says,
yes.
One that ruled well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. So
that's right.
Their children should be in order. And then they should,
that's right.
Children shouldn't be the traditional PKs. Hello, somebody.
Amen.
Hello. These are the guidelines. Amen. Then it says, verse 5, for if any man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the house of God? Then he says, not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Now, verse 7 is very interesting. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, meaning outside of the church, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. You want to know who the man or woman of God is? Don't ask the church, folk. Ask the sinners. They'll tell you who the real man of God
now.
Who the real
man
of God is.
Now.
Church folk, they don't know. Yeah, but you want to find out who the man of God is or the woman of God is, you ask the sinners in the neighborhood.
That they can tell you.
Oh, he's a man of God. She's a man of God. Oh, no, that turkey, you know, because they know. Well, they know whether you was in the crack house last night or you was down there with Mr. Butler and Sister Sue the other day. Amen? You ask the sinners, but not a novice. This thing is so serious. It's much more serious than we think it is. First Timothy 1:11. I remember when the Lord showed me this. First Timothy 1:11. Look at this. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. That's where I got the term. It's a sacred trust. Can he trust you with it? This thing is serious.
Yes.
According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who have enabled me. He enabled him. He equipped him. He anointed him. He appointed him for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. He didn't put himself into the ministry. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. We also have to be, we got to be mature enough so we can endure hardship as a good soldier.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. That was that 2 Timothy 2. Therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. You can't go out there half-cocked. You got to have all those pieces in place. The helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, have your loins girt about with truth. You know what that is? The loins girt about with truth, that's truth in your sex life. Your loins girt about. You already said your mind, the helmet of salvation, that's your mind there. The loins is, back in the day, in Jesus' day, the men and the women, they wore something like a skirt. They both wore that. It was like a long shirt. So when the men had to go to war, or do some work, they grab that thing and tuck it between their legs and tie it around their waist. Gird, have your loins girded about with truth. A chastity belt, a spiritual chastity belt that's in place. Back in the day, they had chastity belts. Men, when they would go to war or wherever, they'd put a chastity belt on their woman. They didn't want nobody messing with the goods. And I did a study on this. They also had chastity belts for men. But it's a spiritual chastity belt. Your loins girded about with truth. Because you got to protect the bloodline. Amen? Because the Bible says that fornication is the only sin that's against your body. But I'm here to tell you, your body ain't your body no more. It's God's body. And he said, your body supposed to be holy. And he said, if you defile the temple of God, him, God, will destroy. See, God has been, he's been winking at a lot of stuff, overlooking it. But a lot of the stuff we got away with, that's over with. It's time to get this thing right. He said it. He said he winked at this stuff. He overlooked it. But it's time for every man, everyone to repent, for men to repent everywhere, because he appointed a day when he's going to bring his son back. So we got to, God's going to honor every ounce of Jesus' blood. This thing is serious. I've always seen it was serious. When I got saved, my mother had stories. She had some stories 31 years ago that made me have to be God don't play. God don't play. The devil ain't playing and God ain't playing. Amen. Therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Faithfulness prepares you for ministry. It qualifies you when you've been faithful. The scripture said that he who has been faithful in least will be faithful in much. He who is unfaithful in least will also be unfaithful in much.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen.
If you haven't been faithful in that which is another man's, who will give you that which is your own? I've been faithful in 7 or 8 different brothers, men of God and women. My first pastor was a woman. My first pastor was a woman, Marjorie Taylor, West Contra Costa Christian Center in Richmond, California. I was her and her husband. I was under their ministry for 2 years. Amen. I was in their program.
Amen.
It was a 12-month program. In 71 days, the Holy Spirit told me to leave. I left in 75 days after receiving 75 days of instruction in the Word of God, and I never looked back.
Praise
never
him.
Looked back. I know this word is powerful. That blood is powerful. That Holy Ghost is powerful. Amen?
Yes.
Verse 3.
Amen.
Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Watch this. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who have chosen him to be a soldier.
Mm.
In 31
Come
years...
On.
What I see, there's a very weak rendition of the gospel being preached and taught in America.
Come on, tell it.
Very weak. It's not. It's
Water
very
down.
Weak.
Come on,
it's,
come on,
it's,
come
it's,
on.
It's a feel. It's a feel good gospel. No, I ain't. This thing is raw. This thing is. You got to preach the gospel. See, I ain't gonna. I heard a story. I heard a story the other day where this guy, he had a dream, and he was in hell, and he saw this guy was going, picking up people and picking them up and looking at their face and putting them back down. He kept doing that to different people, and he woke up. He asked the Lord, what was that? What was that? He said that guy was in hell, and he was trying to find the preacher that lied to him. He has an ear. Let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. We can't play with this thing. When I get up to preach, I've been saying this for years. When I get up to speak, there's blood on my hands. But as I'm ministering, I'm getting it off, because I'm gonna say what God say, and what comes in my spirit, I'm gonna release it. Because I'm scared of God. I don't fear them. He told Ezekiel, don't look at their faces. Don't look at their faces. See, I'll confound you in front of them. You know what I'm saying? So we got to preach this thing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That word
Glory
preacher.
To God.
Check this out. That word, I'm coming to an end. That word preacher this word preacher in 1 Timothy 2:7 and 2 Timothy 1:11 and 2 Peter 2:5 is only used three times. It's karux. It's G2783. This is what it is. A herald or messenger vested with public authority who conveys the official messages of kings, magistrates, princes, and military commanders. We got the ultimate king. We got the ultimate magistrate, the ultimate prince, the prince of peace, and he's a military commander. Amen? The New Testament, God's preacher is God's ambassador, the proclaimer of his divine word. I'll close with Acts chapter 20. Go to Acts 20, and I'll close. Acts chapter 20. I had a lot, but I had to do a lot of it.
You did it, my brother. You doing well. Amen.
I just
glory.
Had to speak it out. Look at Acts 20, verse 25. Watch this. This is Paul. Watch this. Paul speaking. And now, behold, I know that ye all, and now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Watch Paul. Listen to this. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. Why, Paul? Why are you pure from the blood of all men? Look at the next verse. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Not the favorite little scripture. Not a, as you lay me down to sleep, I pray to God to show the key. No, the Bible is a sword. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God, the pure, unadulterated word of God, cut. It'll cut you in or cut you out relative to the way you respond to it.
Yes, come on now.
Ain't no blood. Ain't nobody's blood on my hand. Paul said, ain't nobody's blood on my hand because I told you I was instant in season, out of season. I told you what you wanted to hear and what you didn't want to hear. I preached it.
That's me. Hallelujah, man. That's what I'm talking about.
You see that?
Come on.
I have not shunned to declare to you all the counsel of God. Then he gives them a warning. Look at this. He said, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost have made you overseers to be the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. Watch Paul. Verse 29, I know this, Paul say, for after my departure shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Then he said, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. Or after them.
That's word.
She's pointing people to Jesus. It's all about Jesus. We're supposed to point people to Jesus.
Is.
And at the song, to God be the glory for what he has done, what he's doing, and what he's going to do. We're supposed to point people to Jesus. We don't lord over God's people, and we don't dog them out. You know why people
come
act crazy in church? Because God don't pay every Friday. He don't pay
every Friday.
Ecclesiastes. Yeah. He said, a sentence against evil is not swiftly done. I heard a great man of God say it over 20 years ago. He said, the wheels of God's justice turn ever so slow, but they grind ever so fine. God give you a space to repent. If you don't repent, judgment is coming.
Man.
Okay? And verse 31, therefore watch. Paul said, therefore watch. And remember that by the space of 3 years, I have ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. With tears.
Yes,
that's
Lord.
How serious this thing is. With tears.
Yes.
with
Break it down.
Words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the spirit and power. He said he came, he said, I'm come before you in fear and trembling, much fear and trembling.
Yeah.
This thing is serious. It's way more serious than the average Zoom meeting.
Well, yes,
people's life eternity is at stake. And you got people playing games
Lord.
In the pulpit. Playing games in the pulpit. Telling jokes in the pulpit. The pulpit is a sacred death.
Touch, Lord.
He represents the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords.
My Lord.
Verse 32, and I'll close. Let me read 31 again. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone. My end day with tears.
Yes.
Verse 32, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all that are sanctified. You got to be sanctified, set apart. You got to be a saint. You got to walk in holiness. The Bible says, pursue peace and holiness without which no one will see the Lord. I turn it back over to you.
Amen.
Amen. Glory. Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right now. All right.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, all I got to say is the man of God told the truth, the whole truth, and that's the truth. Now, if you know, if you would like to put your praise on it, it don't need to be re-preached. He was clear.
Amen.
The time for playing has been over. I don't know.
Yes.
I think my brother was a fly up in the fly up on the wall around here because, hallelujah, we are definitely on one accord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes. Apostle Zeta, you mother apostle, you know what I'm talking about too. Hallelujah.
I know what you're talking about. Yes.
Hallelujah. But it's a good
about.
Thing. It's a good thing. Amen. It's a good thing. It's a good thing
Amen.
Because it needs to be said. It cannot be said enough. Hallelujah.
That's
and if
right.
you would like to put your praise on it, hallelujah, if you press your one, amen, I'll address you by your area code. Hallelujah. We got Mother Matt T coming on in. Good evening. God bless you, ma'am.
God bless you, Bishop Cook. The service was right on time. The gentleman,
amen.
he really preached the truth, and it's so true. A lot of people play church. They play church.
Come on.
A lot of them are not sincere. And I know for a fact, if you're sincere with the Lord will be sincere with you. And like that question I had asked you last night.
Yes,
some
ma'am.
People believe if they don't give you the scripture for discipleship, that you're not a Christian or a disciple. But I believe the Lord say, and the Bible says, God so loved the world. He gave his only begotten Son.
Yes,
whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Because I believe
that's
in my heart, if you're on your deathbed and you say them words, you are saved. That's the way I feel.
That's right.
So,
That's right.
Once you believe in the Lord, you are in the marvelous light. When you believe in Jesus and Father God, some people don't see it that way, but I do.
What?
But if you're in darkness and you don't know the Lord, and the pardon of your sins, you don't believe, because there are atheists out there, and then if you may not be an atheist and been raised in church all your life, but something happened and you strayed away from the Lord, you are in darkness. But I believe if you say that with your mouth and confess that Jesus is Lord of Lords, he hung, bled, and died, but he rose in 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
He rose from the dead with all power in his hands, and he sit on the right hand of the Father in heaven on his throne.
Interceding on our behalf. Come on.
Nobody going to make me think no different, because the prayers of the righteous avail of much around the throne of God.
Ma'am.
The afflictions of the righteous are many, but
yes,
the Lord
ma'am.
Will deliver
yes,
us
ma'am.
Out of every one of them. And not one of our bones will be broken. And I'm lifting up Reverend Scott and his wife, Evangelist Michelle Scott, in prayer, praying that he get well soon. And I know that
Thank
he will,
you,
praying
my
that the
team.
Lord will touch his body, praying that the Lord will touch Evangelist Michelle Scott body. I call her my soldier because she's been hurting and everything else on the walk and everything else. And she's still coming to God's church. So that's a true soldier.
Yes.
That's a true servant of God. So I'm just lifting up the Scott family right now.
Amen.
We're lifting up your family too, Bishop Cook. Lifting up your family.
Thank you, Mother. Thank you, ma'am.
All the clergy men and clergy women that's listening, including the man that preached the word, lifting him and his family up in prayer. God bless you all, and I love you all.
Thank you. We love you, Mother Matty. God bless you, mighty woman of God.
Love you too.
Hallelujah, Jesus. I just
love
her.
Love you too.
Hallelujah. You know, I have been so blessed in the 30 years of ministry to just, you know, be, it's like when you meet members of the your family of God, it's like having a family reunion, even though you never met.
It's a
beautiful, awesome feeling when you just can feel the Spirit of God just moving, and you feel like family, and you feel just like Evangelist McGee said, you feel that agape love. You know, there's no egos here. There's nobody, you know, one up in and having a spirit of competition here. We are family. And we come together in love to point people to Jesus each and every day of the week. Hallelujah. But you will also see us in the prisons and in the nursing homes and under the bridges and feeding folks and giving food out of our houses. See, we do take this thing seriously here at Spirit Alive.
Amen.
And I praise God for all the servant leaders that are here, because they do not play. We're all in our proper lane, as ordained by God. Hallelujah. Because
you,
I believe the earmark for a phenomenal servant leader with a servant's heart is to let everybody, hallelujah, serve as God has called them to serve for his glory. Hallelujah.
Yes.
So now, Mother Apostle Zeta, you want to come on in the room, because I know you have a good word to Evangelist McGehee, hallelujah, because you know, he helped me crack it up, because I'm saying he was on the wall, Mom. He was on the wall.
Amen. And I know him, and I praise God that he comes with the true gospel whenever.
True gospel.
Excited. I appreciate that, and I thank the Lord for that. You don't keep asking people to come back if they don't come with the true gospel.
No, I do not.
Amen. So it was truly a good word on tonight. It really blessed my soul, and I'm sure others as well that were listening in on the broadcast, and those servant leaders, and those in the chat room and everywhere. They have to be blessed by it. I just appreciate, his talking about the oneness in the church, because
we need that.
That's what God wants, and we can see a great example of that in the Trinity, among the Father and the Holy Spirit. I mean, if we look at that, we ought to get it, you know, that's how he wants us to be among ourselves, working together, you know, different, even as in the Trinity, you know, for the same, we in the body of Christ should be working for the same goal. Amen.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Different functions,
that is
same purpose. Amen.
Jesus. And
yes,
to bring
hallelujah.
Also that they can see Jesus. And I appreciated what he was talking about as far as the discipleship. You know,
we as
leaders ourselves got to make sure that we have been discipled. And I've been seeing so many, and others have been seeing them too, for years, you know, haven't been discipled at all.
Just
and all of
there.
A sudden, they feel like they are going to lead somebody else. And it just doesn't work like that.
Some of them feel like they're going to lead you.
Amen. Yes, I've had that attempt by others, but I praise God that He really put a emphasis on being equipped our own selves, and what it really means, the fivefold ministry really means.
Yes.
You know, nobody's any better than anybody else. We just have different callings, but we work together,
right.
You know, and that's how we accomplish what
God
has called us to do as we come together in the capacity that He's called us. And so we can, and as we all walk in the oneness, we are walking in power. We're walking in His power.
For real.
Get somewhere by walking together in oneness
together.
In the body.
A united front.
Operating in His power. His power is not going to operate through us if we're not willing to be who He called us to be and do what He's called
us
to do. Praise God. Because, we have the Holy Spirit living within us, but we also have to cooperate with the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit is not to cooperate with us, but it's the other way around. Praise God, because whatever God leads us to do, we have the Holy Spirit in operation in us to teach us,
Bam.
To guide us, to lead us, hallelujah, to bring all things to our remembrance that we need to know or to recall. So we have a teacher in the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Worried when we come before God, we can pray and say, you know, Holy Spirit, help me, show me, speak to me, you know. So we're truly blessed.
Yes,
And I appreciate what he was saying about holiness, because if we're not, we're like he said, we're not going to enter into the kingdom of God.
We cannot live holy with a twist. We really can't. Okay? I keep telling people we cannot do it.
We cannot. He's looking for our holy people. Praise God.
Yes.
And we can be that. We can be that if we walk with God. We can be that.
Yes.
We can be like. Hallelujah.
All right.
Attributes, our characteristics, you know, the way we carry ourselves, people will know, hallelujah, that we truly know God. So I just enjoyed it very much, and I'm not going to say a whole lot more, but just a little bit. But, you know, we can be all of that. And what I want to do, my aim is to finish well and to finish strong. Hallelujah.
That's right.
Like
amen. To God
like
be the glory.
God. Amen. And always the truth, no matter what. Amen.
No matter what. Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay.
I just praise God. I praise God. Hallelujah. We are getting some good word on tonight. Hallelujah. And this is what I love. You know, the saints of God, when we hear a word, we need to touch and agree. We need to put our praise on it. Hallelujah. Evangelist McGee, he did a phenomenal job. But you know what? He's not arrogant enough to think he's going to reach everybody. That you might have a word that, you know, that will be just the word somebody needs.
Amen.
Hallelujah. In the manner and the way that they need it, that will allow them to give Jesus a chance, give Jesus a try, go to him, because that's all we want. We don't care who gets the credit. We just want God to get the glory. We just want you to know that Jesus is standing at the ready to be your Lord and your Savior, and he loves you with an everlasting love. And he will give you his Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. He will give you the gift of salvation and his Spirit. And he will begin to live in you and dwell in you. And hallelujah, he will turn you into that new creation that Evangelist talked about tonight. He will design you the way he wants you to be.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And when he does that, hallelujah, can't nobody turn you around. Can't nobody tell you what God hasn't called you to do. Because you will be too busy doing it.
Amen.
Year after year after year. But you have to begin by going to him and letting him know that you don't have anything to offer him but you. That's it. You don't have to wait till you get dressed up and, you know, they open back up the churches and you go and, you know, you get dressed up and you wait till they open the door. No, because, see, I'm not inviting you to a building. I'm not inviting you to a denomination. I'm inviting you to enter into a relationship with Jesus, the Christ, our Messiah, our Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer.
Yes, yes.
The restorer of our souls.
Oh, yes.
The lifter of our spirits. The center of our joy and the source of our peace.
Yes,
and the
Lord.
Dispenser of grace.
Yes, Lord.
That's what we're inviting you to.
Jesus, Jesus.
That's the kind of love we're inviting you into tonight. So that you can learn your place. So that you can stand in your place and be counted worthy. Because you see, all I want to hear God say to me is, well done, my
Amen.
Good and faithful servant.
Yes.
You know, you ran the race well. You trusted me. You obeyed me.
Mm-hmm.
You listened to me. You lived holy for me.
Thank
you. You honored me. You honored my people, and you loved them by feeding my sheep. That's all I want to hear God say to me.
Yes, yes.
Hallelujah. There's still time for you to get in on the praise. Hallelujah. Okay, I look. He took me there. Hallelujah. I'm just all caught up right now. I'm on full. Okay, I'm just on full, so you know. But if you'd like to put your praise on it, there's still a little time left. Hallelujah in the chat rooms. I want to thank all of you for your amens in the chat rooms and your hallelujahs. There's a consensus in all three chat rooms that the message was well received. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, because so many people, from what I'm reading, they're not feeling the love. Okay, they're just not. There's just so much of every, you know, I used to say that, I said this in a talk the other day, and I was saying, Jesus is standing at the door of his own church wanting to get in. Because we have crowded out praise and worship and discipleship with pomp and circumstances. We, you know, the people of God, the servant leaders of God, they're so busy looking at what other servant leaders are driving and what other servant leaders are doing and, well, you know, who's got the biggest gymnasium. And you, that's not what we're called to do. If we're not equipping other people for the kingdom, if you don't have people coming to you saying, you know what, praise the Lord, Pastor, you know, I've been called to teach, I've been called to preach, I've been called to evangelize, to be an evangelist. If that's not happening to you, then I'm sorry. You're not doing your own job. Because the whole point of us even being here is to help others to grow in the kingdom.
Amen.
To point others to the kingdom. And if you're not doing that, what are you doing?
Jesus.
It's time to stop standing in pulpits hearing yourself talk the talk.
Yes.
It's time to stop going through all the rhetoric and the theatrics and just bring people the word of God in a way that they can apply it to their daily lives so that they know that they know that they know that our God is real.
Yes.
And that he loves them.
Oh, glory.
But they've got to know they can't live just any kind of way. They've got to know. And they've got to see you live what you preach. Nobody will believe what you say until they can see what you believe. So you've got to be living it.
Right. Amen.
So, yeah, I start at the – I don't start in the pews. I start in the pulpit. Because until the leaders get it straight, until the leaders get it right, how can you expect the body of God to flow and to grow in love and grace and compassion? Hallelujah. If they're not taught that. So my brother stirred me up tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You know, as I say it, you know, that's what the word of God does. And I just want to thank you again. Evangelist McGeehee, because you said the right word right there. So I just praise God for you all tonight, because the time for praying has been over. Been over.
Yeah. Amen.
Been over. Been over. So I agree with everything you say 195, 1100%. Amen. Glory to God. I'm serious. I just be me.
Amen.
I just do me. I don't try to get brand new. I just do me.
Amen.
It's been working for me for almost 60 years. And I've been in ministry for over half of that. So, apparently it's working for me. So praise Him. And glory to God. And again, I want to thank everybody for coming out and listening tonight. I want to thank everybody that commented. Would anybody else like to comment? Make a comment right now? All right. Press your ones if you do. Hallelujah. I'm still doing my production thing over here. I'm just scanning and scanning. All right. Well, glory to God. Well, I want to ask you, Evangelist McGeehee, to just say a prayer for the new converts. Hallelujah, because we know that God's word does not come back void. And we know if someone in the chat room wasn't saved tonight, or someone that was on Instagram wasn't saved, or somebody sitting on Skype wasn't saved tonight, when they listen to these programs and rebroadcast until Jesus comes back, somebody's going to be saved, because that was a word. Amen. So would you please just pray a prayer for our new converts?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Father God, we just thank you and we praise you. And I just share with each and every new convert to just repeat after me. Say, I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. And I believe in my heart God raised him from the dead. For with my mouth confession is made unto salvation, and with my heart I believe it unto righteousness. According to your word, Father God, I am saved. For you said, whosoever shall call on the name of Jesus shall be saved. Father God, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for this broadcast. I thank you for your word that went out to the east, the west, the north, and the south. And I thank you, Father God, you said your word should not go out and return to you void, but it will accomplish that which you sent it to do, Father God.
Yes.
And we just thank you.
Lord.
We thank you, Father God, that there will be some 30, some 60, and some even 100-fold return on the word that went forth on tonight, Father God. Seal the word. Seal the fruit,
seal the
Father.
Word,
bring
Jesus.
It into the barn in the name of Jesus. And we'll be always mindful and prayerful to give you and you alone, Lord God, all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor, and all the mighty people of God say, amen,
amen. Hallelujah, and glory to God. Thanks to God. This has been Bishop Shalene Cook with every man standing in his place. We are still continuing to lift up Pastor Jeffrey Scott, my dear brother.
Yes.
And we're looking forward to him returning. But we thank God that he is wise enough to get his rest and to simply do what the Lord tells him to do right now. So we just praise God for all of you that tuned in tonight, all of you that were in the chat rooms, all of my brothers and sisters around the globe. We just want to say a special shout out to Sister Keandra in the UK. I got your inbox today. It was beautiful. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank
and for
you.
All of you, we just praise God that you tuned in, even though you didn't have a word. We're just glad that you were here and you got a word. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And it should have blessed you. So we pray that you continue to have a beautiful and blessed weekend, that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do. And we ask that you continue to follow us here at the Spirit Alive Network, because we truly do have something for everyone. On tomorrow, you can join us for the summit. Hallelujah. With Minister Adam Tuggle, and he's coming out of Indianapolis, Indiana. Then on Sunday, join us for the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience. Hallelujah. Every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Central, and 12 noon Eastern. Then on Monday, I want to give you a special invitation for this Monday, where we will have a very special broadcast. The Working Laboring Together to End Violence will present a child abuse awareness forum. And so I'm just asking all of you parents to come out, all you servant leaders to come out, all of you advocates to come out, so that, you know, we can come together, we can put our minds together, we can empower each other, encourage one another, and educate one another. For more information about us, please go to spiritalive.com, hallelujah, or you can find more information about our programs simply by looking in the details of each of our slideshows. So, on behalf of all of myself, Bishop Shalene Cook, and the Spirit Alive family, and we would like to thank Evangelist George McGehee for that timely word. We want to thank all of you. And from our household to yours, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night, and God bless you all. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Amen. God
Amen.
Bless you, and we love you.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.